is the 365 Saturday in October podcast with your host, Dusty Good and Hawk Horton.
Good evening, and thank you for joining into the 365 Saturday in October podcast. I am your host, Dusty Good. Alongside of me normally would be our co-host and screaming Crimson Tide Alabama fan, Hawk Horton. Unfortunately, he cannot join us tonight due to the fact that he is on another continent. That's right, my partner in crime, Hawk Horton, is serving over in Africa right now. In fact, Djibouti, to be precise. But he'll be home soon enough to provide you with his insight. Every time that, you know, I think that we need to have a moment where the rivalry comes in, I'll make sure to say Roll Tide, as I'm sure that's what Hawk would so choose to do. Thank you for joining us. This is our inaugural podcast. So, first and foremost, if you're a reader on the blog, thank you for reading. It means an awful lot to us. Of course, you'll be seeing a lot of bias from myself and Hawk, as I am an orange bleeding diehard Go Vols fan. And Hawk, of course, like I said, a crimson bleeding Roll Tider, or as we like to call them, Bammers. Just sounds a lot nicer. On today's show, we're going to talk about the big news from today. Of course, Butch Jones, the former coach of the University of Cincinnati, taking the big job at the helm of the University of Tennessee program. We're going to talk about the SEC and all their appearances in the bowl games coming up. Eight SEC teams, of course, will be competing in the bowl games against teams from all different conferences. So that's going to be interesting. And of course, we're going to delve in a little bit in depth into the national championship game, the Alabama Crimson Tide taking on the undefeated Fighting Irish. So once again, thank you for tuning in. Welcome to the show. Let's go ahead and get started. Like we said, the first big news coming out of the day is Butch Jones taking over at the University of Tennessee. Of course, all Tennessee fans around the state thought that this was going to be the home run hire, the slam dunk hire. Whatever you wanted to call it, it really did not matter. But that is what Tennessee fans wanted out of this hire. This was going to be our win this season. A season with Tennessee fans sitting around waiting so long for that one win, that ranked opponent. We thought we'd have the chance to beat Florida. Their program was rebuilding just as our program was. Of course, that didn't happen. We thought we'd have the chance to beat Mississippi State. When do we lose to Mississippi State? That's in our mindset. Of course, Mike Mullen and gang doing very well in Mississippi State, starting out the season 7-0 before that rough drought there. But, you know, Tennessee taking the loss there. And then the chance to beat South Carolina. When all fans came into that game, myself included, thinking there is no possible way that the University of Tennessee can pull out an upset here against the head ball coach and beat South Carolina. But look what happens. South Carolina falling down, Tennessee taking advantage of every mistake until the very end. That offensive line that we've come to rely on all season long is one of the best offensive lines in the country. I think that's undeniable. And you know what? It's just great defense comes through, fumble at the end of the game, and of course South Carolina wins. So Tennessee fans have been looking for that big, elusive win. That is where this head coach hire comes in. Of course, the calls for John Gruden. Gruden this, Gruden that. We have to have John Gruden. If you're a reader on the blog, you know that that wasn't my first choice. Not to say that I would not have been a huge fan. Who could say what it would have done with recruiting? Of course, you know, the coaching, the issue is, you know, can he win on Saturdays? Guess we really don't have to be asking ourselves that anymore. But that was our home run hire. That was the guy I think everyone in the state was looking to and saying, this is the guy that can unite a fan base. This is the guy that can do what we need to be done right here in the state of Tennessee. Of course, you know, early on in the process of this hiring process, that became a non-issue. His agent pulled his name out of the hat, so we kept going. Of course, Mike Gundy was a big name. He's a man. He's 40. He's ready to coach at the University of Tennessee. Not so much. You got to remember, the guy played at Oklahoma State. It's his alma mater. That's where he's coached. Not really a big reason to see him leaving Oklahoma State, besides his problems, reportedly, that he has had with his athletic director. Now, all that being said, I was a fan of Gundy. He was, I believe, fourth on my list originally when I put out the four coaches I think could take over at the University of Tennessee and do well. As time went on, before we really even got into, oh, here's reports filing out that Gundy is talking to Tennessee, as time went on, I think more and more I came to the realization that that just wasn't going to be a possibility. Mike Gundy was not going to leave Oklahoma State. Of course, that was proven true. I don't think he will ever leave Oklahoma State unless they Fulmer him. And in that case, who knows where he'll be coaching? Who knows what his record's going to be? Who knows who's going to want him? So we move on down the line. Then we talk about the guy I was ranting and raving about from day one, Coach Charlie Strong, the man I thought who could take the helm of this Tennessee program and bring it back to the glory day. You can never underestimate loyalty in a program. And let me just say this. Charlie Strong choosing to stay with Louisville is one of the classiest moves I think any coach has ever made. Now, I think it is absolutely the smartest thing for Charlie Strong to do. He's going to be able to use that to leverage the athletic department to move a little bit away from the basketball program. Not away from the basketball program so much as into the football program. Obviously, a good program there in the Big East and heading off to the ACC. The ACC, to me, is the easiest division to compete in with a good team. Now, let me say that again. The easiest conference to compete in with a good team. Now, I didn't say at all it was the easiest conference. I said with a good team. For example, if you look at Florida State, they have dominated the ACC. I mean, I remember the 1998 National Championship very, very well. Florida State, Tennessee, what a great game that was, especially if you were a Tennessee Volunteers fan. Florida State is the dominant power in the ACC. You have Georgia Tech, which can have on and off seasons lately. Not so much. Not really on, not really off, but not to the caliber of being able to compete for a national championship. On the other hand, a team like Florida State, absolutely ready and a real chance to compete for the national championship. Jimbo Fisher has done wonders with that program. He's a great coach. Another one people were talking about with the University of Tennessee position. I supported it. I said, you know, that'd be a good idea. Didn't really see him leaving Florida State, and now I can look back and say, yeah, I was right about that. But for going back to the Charlie Strong issue, he's going to go into this conference now, which, with a good team, is the easiest to win it. Say he goes undefeated. Now, compared to an SEC team with three losses, I think an ACC team undefeated isn't worth a lick. I don't care if that SEC team has had three losses. The fact is, this is the most competitive across-the-board conference. You know, Kentucky might have its ups and downs, but they're really looking to invest some money here. And I think with their hire of Coach Stoops, I think they're going to be able to do well. I think that program is going to be able to flourish. I don't know if they're necessarily going to be competing for an SEC championship, as Stoops has said to people before, but nonetheless, I think the program's going to do very, very well under the guidance of Coach Stoops. Now, excluding a team like Kentucky, teams like Ole Miss, they have their ups and downs. They're going to be back into competing for the SEC West. They're going to. Teams like Mississippi State, you got the same story there. Even now, we're seeing the team like Missouri and Texas A&M. These are all viable national championship teams one season or another. Now, if you look at the ACC, you know, no matter you know what kind of you know Wolfpack fan you are, NC State is not going to be a consistent competitive team. There is not going to be a 5-10 year dry spell, and then they come back to national prominence. That's going to be a team that's going to have a struggle. Not saying it's not possible, not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying consistently it's not going to happen because that is the ACC. That's what the ACC does. A team like North Carolina, okay, you're making big moves. You're bringing in the coach, but you're a basketball school. That is what you're known for. And, you know, a lot of people can say the same thing for Kentucky, and that is why Kentucky will never be a consistent competitive team in the SEC in football. Now, going back to the entire point, that's what Charlie Strong wants. I honestly believe it. I believe he sees his opportunity. His recruiting base is going to open up. Now he's competing against teams from Florida, from North Carolina, from the South, where a lot of these big, physical, strong recruits are coming from. Charlie Strong is a great recruiter who's familiar with the South. That's going to open up his ability to recruit for Louisville. They might be able to bring in some really great talent there when they do this. But overall, I don't know if they're ever going to be truly competitive with the SEC. So you have to ask yourself, you know, there's a lot of things in play here. I don't know if Louisville going to the ACC was the only thing that kept Charlie Strong around. I honestly think it had a lot to do with just the fact that Louisville was the first team to take the chance with Coach Strong. And I think that's a loyalty thing. So a very classy move on Charlie Strong's part. Very good idea. But let's get back into Butch Jones now. Butch Jones, head coach from the University of Cincinnati, comes in, had one losing season at the University of Cincinnati, repeated over and over again today in his press conference that, you know, four out of his six seasons as a head coach, he won or shared the conference title. Yeah, might be a great thing. Might be an incredible thing. Dave Hart said something that I thought was very valuable in that he was looking for a coach to compete consistently, who won consistently. And there is no denying that that Coach Jones has done that. He's done that with his teams. So, you know, to deny that would be foolishness. However, I'm not completely sold on Coach Jones. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I am a University of Tennessee fan. I wear orange. I sing Rocky Top. I understand it. If you read my previous blog post on the whole matter of after they announced that it was going to be Coach Jones, then you know I was going to be behind this move. Now, that being said, I have to think to myself, what is the prudent mindset here? I cannot get my hopes up that next year Tennessee will be competing for the SEC East. His record, his first season taking over after Brian Kelly's one-loss University of Cincinnati team, his record wasn't good. His record was not good at all. Now, are there to be growing pains expected? Absolutely. Let's check the flip side of that coin. Tennessee Volunteers, relatively young team. Relatively young team. If they manage to somehow convince Tyler Bray, Justin Hunter, and Cordero Patterson to stay on the roster for their senior seasons, is there really an excuse for a guy who can't come out and immediately compete? Yeah, defense is in shambles. Defense was one of the, well, it was the worst Tennessee has ever seen. Can he come out and effectively change his team enough in one season with all the amazing athletes that we have to be able to compete? That's a question I'll have to keep in mind. But, you know, that's something that we really have to think about. This is my biggest disappointment. Not so much in that we have Butch Jones as our next head coach at the University of Tennessee. That's not my disappointment. My disappointment is when I look around this league and I see the four coaching spots that were open, you got Arkansas, you have Auburn, you have Kentucky, and you have Tennessee. Any coach should want to come to one of these schools. Any one of these schools. Even Kentucky, I'll allow it. The fact is, competing in the SEC will truly, truly be a measurement of your worth as a coach. It is. We have two of the best coaches to coach in the modern era. Of course, Les Miles down in Louisiana, and Nick Saban in Alabama. Nick Saban has created a dynasty in Alabama. Something that Hawk said to me the other day, I found very interesting, was Alabama is really not as good as Alabama normally is this season. Next season, we're going to be even better. And if you look at the numbers, if you look at the roster, he's absolutely correct. Alabama is going to be, if they do what I think they're going to do, and we'll get to that later, which is beat the Irish in the national championship game, I think that honestly, they have a shot to go back-to-back-to-back national champions. But that's a season away. That's a long way. There's a lot to talk about. We have a long winter coming up. We have a long spring. We have a long summer. So let's just go ahead and strap in and get ready because we're going to have plenty of these conversations coming up, especially when Hawk gets back. I can't wait to hear it. Once again, let me chime in to just say what he'll say. Roll Tide! All right, thank you, Hawk. But we're back on to the immediate, what we're talking about now, which is Butch Jones taking over the four SEC coaching jobs. Arkansas, Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee. Now, Arkansas went after a coach, Brett Bielema, Wisconsin's coach, who was very successful. In his first season at Wisconsin, he won 10 games. Now, did you get that? In his first season with a football team, there is no readjustment phase. 10 games. If someone came to the university in Tennessee and won 10 games after three seasons, I think we'd hoist him up as a hero and never let him go. Wisconsin lost this guy to Arkansas. Now, what does that say to you about the SEC? That says we're strong, we're powerful, and we're able to get any coach we want. And this isn't, you know, the WAC. This isn't the ACC or the Big East. This is the Big Ten. This was a dominant conference in football for so very, very long. This is a conference that has an Ohio State team going undefeated this season with sanctions. Of course, you know, you have to steal an SEC coach to do it, but, you know, I digress. You know, you have to do what you have to do. I understand. They went out, got the coach they wanted. He's won back-to-back Big Ten championships. The only coach to ever win the Big Ten championship game. And this year he won it 70-31 against a ranked Nebraska team. Wisconsin was not ranked when they played that game. 70-31. Sounds like Arkansas got a pretty good deal. Pretty good hire there. Outstanding job on Arkansas. You know they're patting themselves on the backs and saying, we're going to be ready to compete as soon as next season. Auburn. Auburn had a lot of different opportunities. They interviewed Kirby Smart, bringing up a guy who's an up-and-comer, who I said is a Tennessee fan with what we had left after Strong. That's the guy I want to see. I want an SEC guy. You know, they went out. They interviewed Kirby Smart, but they ended up settling on Gus Malzahn. What a good move on their part. A guy who knew the offense. A guy who's won a national championship as an offensive coordinator. A guy who can coach these kids. A guy who proved his merited coaching from his first season at an Arkansas State team. He went 9-3, led his team to a bowl game, and won his conference. That's impressive. Another big pickup on Auburn. Good job, Auburn. You have to be patting yourself on the back for that hire. Kentucky. Now, this is a team that went from Joker Phillips, who came up in the ranks. He played for Kentucky. He coached for Kentucky. He ended up taking the helm at Kentucky. This is a really big hire. If you're going from a guy, for example, we went from a guy called Phil Fulmer, played for Tennessee, coached for Tennessee, ended up taking the helm there. When you go from a coach that is so ingrained in your program, the next hire has to be a big one. For us, that was Lane Kiffin. Hindsight, you know, 2020, right? They get Mark Stoops. Stoops comes in. He comes from a Florida State team that he built up this defense to an SEC-caliber defense in the ACC. An amazing job he's done there. What a good hire for Kentucky, considering that they were originally going for Butch Jones, right? Butch Jones committed to Kentucky, backed out, and said, I think I have a shot at the Tennessee gig. Okay? Which brings me back to the biggest point of all. Look at who Tennessee has competed against for Butch Jones. Colorado, Purdue, Kentucky. Not programs that are on par with the University of Tennessee. Am I missing something? Please, I mean, maybe I have my rose-colored or orange-colored fan glasses on right now, and I think the University of Tennessee is no longer any type of contender whatsoever. Maybe we are to the level of Kentucky and Vanderbilt, that sometimes we'll have pretty good seasons, but just get ready for the long haul of losing. I don't think I am. We have some of the best, if not the best, facilities in the SEC. We have one of the most passionate fan bases you can find. We are rich in tradition, and we are in one of the most competitive conferences. Dave Hart, if you can't sell that, well, I don't know what you could sell, honestly. That, to me, sells itself. I don't even have to try. But that's who Tennessee is competing against right now. Colorado, Purdue, and Kentucky. You have to ask yourself, is that where we want to be? As a college, I do not. I don't feel like that is where I want my University of Tennessee Volunteers to be. Now, let's step back from that. Butch Jones, you might be the David to Saban's Goliath. You might come in and ramp up this program, and within 3 years, we are competing for the SEC East. In 5 years, we're winning the SEC championship game. I mean, going on to national championship success. I don't know. I will give you the benefit of the doubt. Coach Jones, I am behind you. I am behind you, but I'm worried about my university, specifically my football program, when it comes down to us competing for a coach over Colorado, Purdue, and Kentucky. Now, you might say, yeah, we were competing for them, but look at how quickly Jones dismissed them. You know, he said, well, I could be up for the Tennessee job. All right, you know, you're putting a lot of value on yourself, maybe, or maybe you honestly believe you're that good. Kudos to you, either way it goes. Also look at the fact that, you know, maybe we're not so much competing against these guys. They weren't really even a challenge if they were dismissed so quickly. Maybe that's a good sign. Maybe I'm trying to find something good out of all this frustration that I have right now about the season, about the coaching search. I'm not entirely positive. But I am hopeful. I am hopeful that we can rise from this, and we have the coach who's going to stay at the University of Tennessee longer than three seasons. It's got to happen, folks. We have to find that coach. Alabama went through a hard time with this. Alabama went through a lot of coaches there before they found Saban. Maybe that's what Tennessee's lot in life is right now. Maybe we're going to have to go through the same thing. I don't know. But something to definitely sit and think about and wonder. Now, here's going to be, I'm going to end this on Jones, because this is, has to be my favorite thing about Jones. I don't care if it was Colorado, Purdue, and Kentucky offering you a job. The fact that you wanted the Tennessee job so badly, I hope that's what it is, earns my respect. That earns my respect. You know, I watched the press conference today. I'm not incredibly blown away by your ability to handle the press. Yeah, you made a few good jokes. Okay. You know, they were funny. I laughed. I'm not incredibly impressed. One of the things that did impress me about Dooley was the way he talked to the press. One of the things that didn't impress me is what he said. Now, I kind of feel like that coin is completely flipped. And maybe if it's one of the things that impressed me about Dooley, good. Good maybe that Butch Jones does not have the ability to impress the press. Maybe he is strictly going to be the coach who's going to be a great football coach. Doesn't have to impress the press. Impress the press. That's fun to say. You should try that one. I'm hoping it's not so much that Jones saw this and said, no one's going to take that job at Tennessee. And that is a pretty good job for a guy in my position. So I'm going to jump on it. I'm really honestly hoping that's not it. And, you know, I hear him talk. I hear Dave Hart talk. And Dave Hart says, you know, he really does love it. And he really is hopeful. He really is optimistic. You know, I'm trained in public affairs just like you know, they are. I know what you have to say. And I really hope for the fans' sake that that is an honest-to-God truth, that this man really does love the University of Tennessee, love our football program, love our traditions, wants to run with Smokey, wants to scream Rocky Top 1,000 times at the top of his lungs every time something good happens for the Volunteers. I hope that it happens. Now, I also want to say that, you know, you have been a fickle temptress, Tennessee football. You've given me hope and taken it away just as quickly. I'm going to reserve judgment on Butch Jones, but I do stand behind you right now. Go Vols. Go Big Orange. I really hope that this works out for us. I got a lot of hope. All right, let's move on, though. Let's move on from Butch Jones. We don't want to take all of our time to talk about it. That's just big news right here. Let's talk about the SEC in the bowl game. A lot of big games for the SEC. This, to me, is the true measure of how strong our conference is. It's not about how many times we win the national championship consecutively. Though you've got to love that statistic as an SEC fan. You have to love that statistic. It's great. It's great. You know, six straight, we'll make it seven. No big deal. But to me, the overall number of wins that we have in our bowl games this season against such a diverse group of teams from such a diverse group of conferences, that I think that our win-loss record here is going to be the make or break for how great our conference is. Because not only does it prove that, hey, we have the best team in the country, but all of our other teams are so good that we could probably beat your best teams. So let's do a quick wrap-up of all the bowl games. You know, we've already done a blog talking about this, but if you're more an audio-type person like myself, then you can, you know, just sit back and listen. We're going to talk about them all. The Music City Bowl is our first one. Played out of Nashville. It has North Carolina State taking on Vanderbilt. Now, this is a no-brainer for me. The Tennessee team who walked into this season, horrible defense, offense that was a little shaky when we first started out, comes in to the Georgia Dome, a little bit of our house of horrors, personal house of horrors for the University of Tennessee, and we dominate the Wolfpack, absolutely dominate the Wolfpack. Now you flip that coin over, and you go to our game versus Vanderbilt in what we affectionately call Neyland West, and we get dominated by Vanderbilt. This is a no-brainer. James Franklin, as much as I dislike you, James Franklin, and everything you ever say, everything that comes out of your mouth, I just want to put it back in. He's done a great job with this Vanderbilt team. He's a good motivator. He's a good coach, and he's a good recruiter. Hate to say those things. Honestly, it's very painful. I feel like the orange is melting off me right now. But you have to say it. this Vanderbilt team is going to sweep the floor with NC State. I don't see it happening any other way. Going on down to the Chick-fil-A Bowl, we have LSU versus Clemson. This is almost a joke game to me. LSU is such a dominant football team, such a good team. It's almost a shame they couldn't have a higher-ranking opponent. But, you know, that would be unfair to the rest of the country. We have to make sure Northern Illinois can get into a bowl game versus Florida State. Wonder if they can manage that one, huh, Florida State? I know you did lose your defensive coordinator. I think you'll be fine. But LSU versus Clemson. LSU beat the Gamecocks with a healthy Marcus Lattimore. Clemson lost to the Gamecocks without a healthy Marcus Lattimore. Remember that so much of the Gamecock offense relied on their run game, relied on Marcus Lattimore. Yet South Carolina still manages to beat Clemson. Of course they do. LSU has this game easily in hand. SEC is looking good right now. We're at 2-0. Let's go to the Gator Bowl. Mississippi State versus Northwestern. Oh, ouch. This one I am worried about, honestly. Mississippi State, I've been saying this from the beginning of the season. I don't think you're nearly as good as people are giving you credit for. We believe was awful. It was a heartache for you. Alabama just came in and dominated. But what are you going to do? Alabama does that to teams. Now, that being said, Northwestern is a pretty good team, but they're not an SEC team. They're not SEC caliber talent. I think Mississippi State can handle this game, but this is the one I worry about. This is the one to watch for if you're an SEC fan. This is the Big Ten's chance to come out and say, hey, we knocked down an SEC team, no big deal. So one to watch for, but I still think Mississippi State has it in hand. 3-0, we're looking good now. South Carolina versus Michigan. Really? Must it be said? You're not going to beat the head ball coach, Michigan. It's not going to happen. You've shown too many weaknesses this season. You were ranked too high when it all began. Alabama clearly showed the country the dominance of SEC football in the season opener. South Carolina has this one well within hand. It's South Carolina defense, which is, I think is going to be what wins this game for the Gamecocks. All right, the Capital One Bowl is going to tell you have Georgia versus Nebraska. Remember, this is the same Nebraska team that Wisconsin put up 70 points against this high-powered Georgia offense. Two amazing running backs, an amazing quarterback. Yeah, Georgia's got this one well in hand. Well in hand. So we're looking now at the SEC being 5-0 so far. So, hey, we're on a good track, right? The All-State Bowl, Louisville versus Florida. Wow, what a game this should be. Coach Charlie Strong, the man who brought Florida's defense to prominence during their national championship run there, going to take on Florida in the All-State Bowl. Should be a very, very good game. I'm very, very excited about the possibility of what's going to happen here. The thing about it is Florida looks good. They look real good, and a Big East team doesn't hold a candle to an SEC team. Coach Strong has done a great job coaching his players up there. One of the reasons Tennessee wanted him so badly, but Florida has this one pretty much in pocket right now. Going to the Cotton Bowl, Texas A&M versus Oklahoma. Are you kidding me? Texas A&M versus Oklahoma? Texas A&M beat the Crimson Juggernaut. Oklahoma has shown cracks in the foundation all year long. This should have been a much better Oklahoma football team. Folks, it's not. Texas A&M is going to walk all over Oklahoma. That's my projection. The BBVA Compass Bowl. Pittsburgh versus Ole Miss. Wow. Huh. Pittsburgh versus Ole Miss. This is quite an interesting matchup here. I'm going to talk about this one for a bit because it'll be a nice segue into our next segment. Pittsburgh is the team that gave Notre Dame a big scare there, taking them to overtime, possibly ruining the undefeated season, the chance for the Fighting Irish to have their national championship glory they have been so long removed from, going against Ole Miss. Ole Miss, one of the most overlooked teams in the SEC. You're playing in the SEC West. Ouch, what a hard place to play. What a hard, you know, division within a hard conference. You got Nick Saban. You got Les Miles. You got Texas A&M. You got Arkansas. You've got Mississippi State. It's a rough road. But Hugh Freeze has taken this Ole Miss Rebels team and transformed them into a Frankenstein football team that can win football games. You've got to love Hugh Freeze. The man should be the SEC Coach of the Year. Of course, he can't because he didn't beat enough people. But okay, so what? This guy has been nothing but extraordinary. So, what happens when Ole Miss runs rampant on Pittsburgh? Absolutely destroys them. Do we finally squash all the talk of Notre Dame has a real shot at beating Alabama? I mean, this is the same Pitt team that went into overtime with Notre Dame. And I think Ole Miss is going to roll over them. I think Hugh Freeze is too good a coach. I think Ole Miss is too good a team. Like I said, the Frankenstein team. What an amazing football team this is. And a lot of fun to watch. If you haven't got a chance to watch them, a lot of fun that is. Interesting stuff to look at and think about, which brings us into the national championship game. All the hype surrounding this national championship game. The media wants you to tune in. What is the article I read? The highest possibility for broadcast ratings for a national championship game? Yeah, I don't see it happening. Not the ratings, I think they'll be there. But the fact that you're hyping up this Notre Dame team to be so good and evenly matched with the Alabama Crimson Tide is absolutely embarrassing. It's embarrassing to the fans because, let's be honest here, Notre Dame didn't have that tough of a schedule. And everyone's ragged on Alabama. Oh, they have not had a tough schedule at all. They've not played anybody. Alabama is in the SEC. If you put that same Notre Dame team in the SEC, that's a 4-5-6 loss team. Easy. Alabama has had one of the toughest schedules because of the SEC. Do you need to play anybody outside of the SEC to gauge how good you are? Okay, if you do, how about we gauge it by Michigan, a team who came close to beating an undefeated Ohio State team. Okay, and Alabama walked all over Michigan. The fact is the SEC is dominant, and to say anything different is lies. And it's hurting the Irish fans, because here's how I think this is going to play out. The Alabama defense is not going to let the Fighting Irish move past the 50-yard line until at least the second half. And you can be listening right now saying, well, of course not. Of course not. This is going to be a defensive game, right? Isn't that where we're coming into? No, not even close. Not even close. The Alabama Crimson Tide has an amazing defense. But it's this offensive unit that has me going, wow, this is not something typical of an Alabama football team. A.J. McCarron, what an amazing quarterback this kid is. And it wasn't until last year's national championship game versus LSU that I noticed A.J. McCarron. Honestly, I've always said before, what a running game Alabama has. And still true to this day. T.J. Yeldon, wow, is that guy a school bus or a running back? Are you kidding me? Manti Te'o is going to be flattened by the Alabama run game. It's going to be sad. It's going to be a very, very sad day to be a Fighting Irish fan. But that's just the way it's going to work out. So if you want to go ahead and tune your dials in to ESPN and listen all day about how this is going to be the hardest fought national championship game in years, you watched that game last year. And the fact was Alabama still rolled. Isn't that right, Hawk? Roll Tide. I'm sure that's what he'd say. So if you have any comments or suggestions on our blog, please feel free to leave them on our Facebook, 365 Saturday in October. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. So find us on Twitter, find us on Facebook. Also check out the blog, 365sio.com, hosted by Fan versus Fan. We hope you enjoyed the podcast very much. Until next time, keep your eyes to the south and look away, America. Dixieland is going to do it once again, 7 straight national championships and a sweep of all of our bowl games. Just watch out. So until I can join you next time, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Dusty Good. Go Big Orange. What do you say, Hawk? Roll Tide. That's right. 365 Saturday in October. Out.